Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, TASS of Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We are positively here at Coco's. We are on Harford Road in beautiful Lauraville. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I got my lottery tickets around here somewhere. I've been giving so many away. Lucky ones for all of our guests, including Dara Bunjan from Jay Moore and our food enthusiast who gave me a beautiful recipe for Thanksgiving. But I want to promote Jiffy Lube MultiCare because they're sending Luke back and forth to Owings Mills next week, getting ready for football with the Giants, getting ready for the holidays. Our friends at Wise Markets, obviously, have been a big part of everything we do as well with my sauerkraut and my kielbasa. And my wife, we didn't get our turkey at Wise this year. My wife was at the office like 2 weeks ago. She didn't go to the office too much. And so he's like, we got extra turkeys. You want one? And she said, I'll take one. So she brought home his turkey. It was 22 pounds, gigantic turkey, just the two of us. So we've had turkey piccata the other night with some delicious pappardelle lemon pepper pasta. We've been doing things with our leftovers, but I'm a side dish guy. So if you know about sauerkraut and kielbasa, green bean casserole, my wife made a delicious sweet potato pie because she went to pie school. But my wife spent 6 days making Thanksgiving, and about 48 hours before, maybe Monday or Tuesday, and I don't know, Dara, I just met her 20 minutes ago, and we're going to share some coconut shrimp out here. But you put this recipe up for corn pudding. And my wife and I, we love food, and my wife loves to cook. She's a really good cook. And I'll take recipes of things that look like they're in our lane, and I'll just instant messenger over to her things. 90% of them are like, yeah, that looks good, and we don't make it, or we think about it, or we forget about it, or some food of the moment. But there was something about us having corn, needing that as a side, because we had mashed potatoes with rutabaga. My wife makes fresh gravy, big bird. My wife brines the bird, stuffs the bird, goes out, gets rye bread, marble bread, like just everything.
She's all in.
But the corn, she shucks in the summer in August, freezes, and we have this delicious Silver Queen corn. And I'm like, we need an idea for it. And I love cornbread in a skillet, like as a dish. And I said, well, maybe something like that. And then you appeared with this corn pudding, which I don't think my mother ever made corn pudding. I think I've had it at other like relatives' houses or whatever. Not something that's ever on a menu in a restaurant, you know? So it's a little funky monkey. And I was like, let's make it. She made it. And I think I don't even know you. And I was giving you love on Thanksgiving saying, this really made our dish. It filled out our plate, which I think was your goal when you shared it. It's nice to have you on. How are you?
I am doing great. Thanks for inviting me. And you are the first person of all the recipes I've put up and things that I've done that sent me a thank you note. So
what?
I thank you.
Oh, well, you drove across the city from Pikesville to have a Coco's crab cake. And I said to you, you're the food enthusiast. I know of you. I mean, my old girlfriend Robin was involved at Jay Moore. I know the people involved at Jay Moore. I know, like, so I've seen, Michael Olesker's a lifer brother of mine, right? So, like, I see your stuff come through. But this recipe, it hit me as, you said something very convincing. I'm going to go back to your Facebook, because, and this speaks to your credibility with me. And I think we're all looking for credibility. And I think of you as being this food enthusiast. I just want to give the exact thing that you put up, because I'm going to go back from last week. Because you said something about it. Here it is, November 26th. There it is, right on my timeline. This recipe is so yum. Trust me, made it numerous times. And it is killer with 3 exclamation points.
It is. It is. Every time I make it. Now, the recipe I gave was a small 8x8, but I have it in a bigger pan. But I figure it's a lot simpler to start on the 8x8.
Well, I grabbed it, and I took a shot of it, and I sent it over to my wife. November 26th. When was that? It's like 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I saw it, and I'm like, well, we got corn. I want to have corn on the because what we would have just done was take the corn out, throw it in the pan. We would have buttered it up and salt and pepper, you know,
right.
And it would have been delicious. You know, it would have been fine. But this was not hard for my wife. She cut back on the sugar, you know, because she always cuts back. She's diabetic, so she'll cut back on the sugar a little bit. So it was a little bit more muted, which is the corn's very sweet.
Right.
This white corn we had is delicious. But you make yours with this yellow corn in a can, right?
Well, it's not in the can. Usually you can go get the frozen corn.
Okay.
And you get the frozen corn, and you let it thaw, and you drain it on paper towels so it doesn't have a lot of moisture. And you reserve a cup of the corn. The rest of the corn you put in a food processor with eggs and whipping cream and milk, sugar, butter at room temperature, cornmeal, baking powder, teaspoon of salt. Whiz it in the food processor, and when it's all pretty well pureed, then you add that cup you withheld, and then you pour it in the baking pan, and you bake it for...
That's how the pudding gets to be corny above and beyond the corn itself.
Right.
It was delicious. I'm really thrilled that you're here to
anything left over during the dinner? That's the question mark. Did you finish it off during the dinner?
I'm a guy talking about a 22-pound turkey, and it was just me and my wife. My kid and his wife came over, and my kid's 40. So he came over, and they don't eat a lot. They're not like eaters like that. But my wife made a small pan of this. She did not, we made twice as much sauerkraut and kielbasa, twice as much. She doesn't even like green bean casserole, but she got all bougie. She decided that Campbell's cream of corn soup wasn't good enough. She was going to make her own cream of corn or cream of mushroom to put into the green bean. She was cooking for 6 days, but the corn that she made, and it wasn't like we're going to try it out. She looked at it. She's like, this is going to be really good. But my idea was there's a place called Founders and Farmers in D.C. It's a restaurant. It's a chain. They do a skillet cornbread. It's killer. It's buttery as hell, but it's killer. They serve it in the skillet. It's got that warm. They serve it with soft butter, too, like melted.
Right.
It's unbelievable. And I said, why don't we do like a cornbread? And that was where we were going until I saw your recipe. And she's like, well, I'll just make a little bit of it. You know, we don't want to make too much to have left over. It was the first thing we ran out of.
Right. It doesn't
to answer your question.
Yeah. It's addictive. It's sweet. It's warm. It's...
pudding?
Yum. Yum, as I said.
You sold me.
Yeah,
you know?
I sold you, but I thank you for sending me the note because I don't do
those. Well, thank you for coming and doing my show.
Well, how can I turn it down to Coco's? It's my favorite crab cake.
All right, so you are the food enthusiast.
Yes.
Jay Moore is a Baltimore Jewish living, but I think of it as a website that would be a magazine that would be... 30, 40 years ago, you would think of it like Baltimore Magazine. I think of it as a magazine-style website, I'm trying to say.
Well, it is a magazine.
It is.
There is a four-color magazine that is free, and people can get to it. As for the theme is contemporary Jewish living, but it doesn't have to be about being Jewish. My live show that I do, where I interview people in the food world, you know, we can talk about anything that we want. We're not tied into kosher food or anything of that nature. So they've given me a lot of freedom. I basically produce the show. I do the graphics. They back me up, and they actually pay me to do the show.
I pay to eat, man. That's like me. You know, I get these sponsors. They treat me like family. These people, like, I just, for 33 years, sports radio, I get treated like garbage by the sports teams. You know what I mean? Like, literally, when I go to businesses here where people are making crab cakes in this city and people that we all love food, we all love our food culture. I think we have a stronger food culture here than we realize. When people get off an airplane at BWI, they're thinking of where they're going to eat in this city.
Right. And the airport has tried to put that diversity at the airport, too. So if you're there, you have a layover, you got a couple hours, you can go.
I had an Obricki's crab cake on my tour.
Yeah, I mean, you can go and find almost anything. Years ago, when the International Association of Culinary Professionals held their conference in Baltimore, we held an event at the aquarium, and part of it was to show off the neighborhoods of Baltimore and the foods that they have. You know, we talk about cotties, we talk about chocolate snowballs with marshmallow on it. You know, there are all types of things.
Egg custard. I gotta have egg custard.
Well, some people like egg custard. Mine was chocolate with marshmallow on it.
I'm not a marshmallow guy on my snowball. You know, I mean, I've had it, but I'm not an enthusiast of that. So what makes you the food enthusiast? Give me your background, because I don't know enough about you. I know you pop up. We have tons of mutual friends. I see your work. I see that you're into food. Obviously, I write about crab cakes and talk about crab cakes. I've had 1,000 crab cakes in hundreds of different places all over the state. And it's been fun for me. And I wind up not just talking about crab cakes. I talk about neighborhood and culture and people, and but more than that, like how it brings us together. And I think that's sort of the Anthony Bourdain, Andrew Zimmern, probably everything Julia Child ever wanted us to know when we saved the pate, was that we base our culture around eating and eating together. We dine together.
Well, one of the first questions I ask guests on my show is, tell me about your family table. So why don't I turn it around on you? Tell me about your family table and growing up.
My mother and father were both born in 1919 in two different parts of America. My mother was born in Abbeville, South Carolina, actually in Ware Shoals, South Carolina. So my mom grew up in the 1920s in, they had help in her house, if you know, in the South in 1925. So my mom's background is in Southern food and soul food, maybe along that line of pork chops and fried chicken. And my mom would make sweet potatoes. If I came and made you my mom's sweet potatoes, she would cut the yams and she would just dump the sugar and the brown sugar on top and bake them, and they would get soft. And they just it was just like honey, you know. So a lot of sweet. But my father, her husband, my pop, Scranton, Pennsylvania, 1919, meat and potatoes. My father, and I might cry telling this story because I do this cup of Super Bowl every year. My dad in 1929 starved. You know, he was 10 years old during the Depression.
Right.
So my dad stood in soup lines and bread lines when he was a 10-year-old boy, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. And my dad would always say to me, touch my stomach. He'd say, you got a dollar in your pocket, put some food in your belly. And it didn't even occur to me until a year and a half ago when I got thrown out of the Super Bowl and the Ravens and all that stuff that I decided to do this charity thing for the food bank, for Maryland Food Bank and Carmen Del Guacho, because my dad starved when he was 10 years old. But my family table, my dad worked at the Point, came home every day. My mom had dinner on the table at 4 p.m. So 4 p.m., there was always bread on the table, white bread. We're a white bread family, you know, margarine for better or worse. And my mom made dinners on schedules because they were Catholic. Friday was always fish. We talked about crab cakes and Lent, but Friday was always fish sticks. She would make little salmon cakes, not cod, but salmon out of the can. They were nasty, but they were like salty. But we always had fish on Friday, always pasta on Thursday. Saturday was either chili or stuffed peppers. Sometimes burgers in the summer. Sunday was always like a chicken or a roast or something that came out of the oven. I guess that's the Irish part of my father being from Ireland, Irish background. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it could be anything that would be East Baltimore. Pork chops, never fresh vegetables, always canned or frozen. You know, I grew up poor. You know, like when I talk about the crab cakes here and Jumbo Lump, and when I had Anthony or Andrew Zimmern on, there's only one way to make a crab cake, and I'm laughing at him. And I'm like, we were poor. We had special crab meat, and my mom, and this is the East Baltimore thing, with Old Bay or that, just that salty part of killing a crab cake with that salted flavor and pan frying it is the way I ate crab cakes, like hockey pucks. I love them that way. I love them fried. Don't tell Marcella with her big jumbo. But I love them that way because I grew up that way. So, yeah, fried, a lot of fried in my house as a kid. But I grew up with a lot of love, and I grew up in a house where there was dinner served on the table every day, and it was an incredible, incredible source of pride for my father that he could feed us.
Do you have
important.
Siblings?
Stepbrothers, yes.
Okay. The only reason I ask is when I was growing up, no matter what, there wasn't cell phones, but when you sat down to dinner, there was no distractions, no newspapers, no books.
I agree with all that, yes.
And that was the source of my love for food, because you sat around the table, you felt the love of the family, and that continues to grow. So when I eat something, I feel loved. Food is up. Absolute passion for me.
Well, you brought me love in a bag.
Yeah,
food enthusiast, Dara Bungeon's here. She's from Jay Moore. She is the food enthusiast. You can find all of her work at Jay Moore. You can find her delicious corn pudding recipe that brought us together today at Coco's. You came in before you even met me, you gave me a gift.
Right.
And I'm thinking it's got to be food because it's who you are, right?
That's right.
What is your background? Well, you were a chef. Give me your story.
No, just love food. My parents used to own a patent drug and luncheonette down at 31st and St. Paul. People have written about it.
And by the stadium. Sure.
No.
31st St. Paul's, Hopkins. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the Hopkins area. So I used to work behind the fountain. You know, my mother was a great cook. She might have done, you know, the simpler things, but rare occasion if lobster went on sale, she would stuff it. And that might be happening maybe once every 4 years, or she'll try a new recipe of, you know, like a veal scallopini. But usually it was, you know, the basic food. But everybody came on Friday night for Shabbat dinner because she was a phenomenal cook. She could cook a chicken and what she did with the soup, and everybody wanted to be at her table. She actually... And people are going to go, eh. But she would make gefilte fish from scratch. She would get the fish, and she would chop it in this wooden bowl.
I've never had gefilte fish.
Gefilte means stuffed. And in the old world, what they would do is they'd make these fish balls and stick it in the belly of the fish and then roast the fish. And that's what gefilte fish is.
Okay. Now I'm learning.
So it can be a blend of fishes. And she would sit there and chop it. And white pepper, if my father didn't break out in a sweat from the white pepper and the gefilte fish. But my sister and I would scrape the bowl. We loved the raw fish when she made it. So we were eating sushi before we knew what sushi was. And I was very sad when she was moving to Florida. I went to her, you know, go by her place, and she says, oh, they had a thing up at Giant at Milford Mill. And she said, I sold a lot of stuff. And she sold the wooden bowl and the double mezzaluna. And that bowl meant so much to me. I would have loved to have it because that's where she made the gefilte fish. There's just a memory in it. And sad.
Well, that's food. Sure. I mean, I have a pan that my mother had, right? You know,
right.
It's like I think holidays, for better or worse, right? We gather and we don't have loved ones or somebody said something to me last week that was unbelievable. It made me cry, but I said to somebody, how was your Thanksgiving? And he said, well, my mother died. This is a friend of mine from my yoga studio. My mother died last week, but my wife made me the two sides for Thanksgiving. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you know, to have my mom come back and make me sweet potatoes again. And I didn't appreciate them, you know? You don't appreciate that stuff, you know?
No, but I mean, it's... The family table is important, and it sets up communication with your children rather than being behind the phones. Not that I'm not behind the phones, but it's the time to share, you know. And I would tell stupid stories from elementary school, and my parents would laugh. You know, I wasn't thinking it was stupid, but they would grin. But, you know, you're in third grade. What is a third grade? You know,
what was your time to report to your family? Dinner time was when you got your audience, right?
You got your audience.
Right.
And you felt special and they listened. So my mother was a great cook. My cooking was more like a sideline or a hobby, and it got involved and it became very important to me. I used to run cooking classes in the restaurants here in Baltimore. This goes back ages ago before the Food Network. And it was called the Epicurean Club, and people joined. And I would run classes like at Harbor Court, and they'd be in the restaurant kitchen. The chef would prepare for
I lived at Harbor Court for 20 years, so yeah.
Okay, so Harbor Court, the Brass Elephant.
Oh, well, food's coming here. This is going to be one of my favorite things to share with you. So
okay.
We're at Coco's.
So
but keep telling me about this, because you're on your Epicurean delight. I know. Yeah. Once you start smelling the shrimp, it's over with you. You want to go eat it.
Okay. So, you know, that's sort of was the sideline, and one thing led to another, to another, to another, and I actually became friendly with people from HarperCollins.
The publishing company.
Publishing company, cookbook. So when cookbook authors were traveling and they needed somebody to food style for them, I'd go to Washington here in Baltimore. I was a media escort. I would drive them around. So I got to know them, which is great because now I'm doing the show. I call up, you know, Susan Herman Loomis in Paris, and I said, will you be on the show? She goes, yeah. So, you know,
it's like me with sports. I've been doing sports so long, I can get a coach on the show to talk. I can get Matt Stover to talk about Justin Tucker this week in kicking but that's a beautiful, that's a relationship that you keep. I had a beautiful neighbor of mine that was a foodie when I lived in Harbor Court. She has since passed. Her husband was a very famous heart surgeon, and her name is Marlene. And she lived in the penthouse. And she was a widow. She's a woman, right? So she had us to her house one night for dinner, and she and her husband had been all over the world. And her passion, and it was so neat for me to see this, she had plates all in her kitchen and menus that were autographed by chefs. I had never seen this before. This is 15 years ago. I mean, I've been to people's houses where they got autographs of Brooks Robinson or Johnny, you know, whatever, whoever, rock stars, presidents, whatever. But I thought, and with every one of those plates, she would say, "This was our meal in Paris, and this was the chef, and this was," and I thought, wow, you know, memorable meals. And I think about my memorable meals that I wish I had. Well, sometimes you have pictures of them now, right? We all post pictures. We're gonna have a picture of us with the delicious coconut shrimp that we have out here at Coco's as well. But I think the memory in Hermes, a very wealthy woman, but in her mind, this silly little plate that, you know, and a menu that wouldn't be sold on the internet or, you know, be any, but it represented a special moment in their travels, literally, in places you would go. That's what Anthony Bourdain is, right? Like, as a memory, really, that's what that is, right?
I met him a couple of times, but at Star Chefs in New York, and he was signing books, and I was putting together a composite cookbook from different chefs, and while I was talking to him, I said, you know, I'm getting recipes donated, so he gave me his email address, he signed the book, whatever, sent numerous emails to him, never heard back, and when we go off the air, I'll tell you the email address, but I have the book, I sold my collection, and I said to somebody, I said, here's your piece of gold. I didn't need it anymore. But I have some of Julia Child's kitchen things. Everybody's passion, you go after and you save. I have, you know, her Charlotte mold. I have tea towels. And these are all, you know, little notes from her that she sent to me. So
I was a kid that cooked. You know, like in home ec school, I mean, I remember seventh grade. My mother always taught me to cook. I helped make food. You asked me about my childhood. I helped make my mother make dinner 4 or 5 days a week. I mean, I was always involved in making food. I help my wife, but my wife sometimes is more like out of the way with the knife up and like all of that. She doesn't want me to be the sous, you know. But I guess I care. I eat 3 times a day like everybody else. I try to be selective about what I'm eating. But no. But I think about my child, like Justin Wilson, the Cajun chef. I guarantee. This is 40 years ago. When cable television came on, I would watch him cook recipes and Yang Ken cook making noodles and Julia Child, obviously. But that was really the gateway in the 70s and 80s after Electric Company and Sesame Street, that the only place they really did. Now, they do it on Channel 11 every week, and they have a chef in, and they'll do all of that. But I think, like, in that period of time, there was Julia Child, and everything else is sort of an artery of that. From
Natalie Dupree.
Sure.
And Natalie, you know, I've been friends with her. She's been on the show.
Keep you on your mic. Keep going. That's right.
She's been on the show, Sarah Moulton, and some of these. You want to look?
I do want to look.
I did this last night.
Dara has given me a gift. You made something special for me? You already gave me the recipe, and you came over here. This is going to be good here. Hold on. I'm opening it up. Only gift I've gotten for the holidays so far. I'm opening. Here we go. What do we have? Oh, wow, biscotti. It's like Steve Biscotti, only, but it's biscotti. No, it's not biscotti, it's biscotti. She made me biscotti.
Cranberry and pistachio. Try one.
Well, my wife came home with bread that was just like this for the turkey. She had a cranberry nut bread that she bought, thinking it would be really good as leftover. You made this fresh for me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it. Well, I got Zeke's coffee in the house. This is going to go great with Zeke's coffee.
Enjoy.
Thomas is here, absolutely.
Manja.
Dara Bunjon is here. She is the food enthusiast. She's from Jaymar. Follow her work. Get her amazing corn pudding recipe. What are your favorite? You said your crab cake here at Coco's is your favorite. You're not making that up. That's real. We're going to eat some of these delicious coconut shrimp.
I have to ask you, was this your idea and they made this, or it was something that they had on the menu and that you love?
Oh, no, no, no. Marcel's been making these forever. Hey, Marsh, you got a minute? I want you to talk about the coconut shrimp. Can you come in? Now, I'm going to get Marsh back in here because she's been talking off camera with her sig back here. I don't know whether you're on. I think you're on three. Hold that up. There you go. Can you give her your story on these coconut shrimp? By the way, Dara, Marcy, there you go. Marsh is here. I got the right mic for you?
Yes.
I think you do. Yeah, we got to put your mic up.
Oh,
there you
thank
go.
Thank you.
So she's the food enthusiast. So like Anthony Bourdain, Julia Child, we've been talking about all this incredible stuff. Her mom made this place, and the crab cake is 11 ounces here because that was her mom's hand size, right?
Right.
So she makes this uniquely, weirdly big softball kind of crab cake here. And everybody knows about her crab cakes. And I feel like it's my role as a promoter, spokesperson, partner, radio ads, web, what we do. Everybody knows about the crab cakes. I think, and listen, I love your crab cakes, and I love your cream of crab soup. I'm doing a crab soup tour next summer.
Oh, nice.
Not just cream, but I'm going to go everywhere and try both, including you. We're going to kick it off with you in August. These are the coconut shrimp. And I saw them on the menu, and I tend to love shrimp. I like fried shrimp. And I order them, and not knowing anything about this raspberry jalapeno, because usually when you get a coconut shrimp, you get like a mango.
Yeah, like a marmalade.
It's mango marmalade or whatever. What is this for her? Because I have defined this, and she's the foodie. I said to her, this is one of the top five things in the city. Well, I said this is one of the top five things. If people were to say to me, like I brought my friends in from Arkansas, we sat here, you're getting the coconut, you're going to try. If you eat shrimp, you're going to have one of these. Because I think they're uniquely delicious. And not just that, I don't know any other place I can get this particular item.
Right. Well, when you go out, you want to try whatever is like that place is known for. Obviously, we're known for our crab cakes, but it's always nice to have a little.
Not for her. She knows what it tastes like.
Yeah. So
it's the hostess in me.
There you go.
The coconut shrimp are hand breaded here. We have someone that breads the coconut shrimp on Tuesdays, like literally for 8 hours, stands there and hand breads.
This was breaded yesterday, but you're telling me.
Right, right.
Delicious.
And our raspberry jalapeno sauce is made from scratch. It's a little sweet, a little hot, and it's just delicious. It's a great combination.
There, a lot of people have had coconut shrimp in other places, appetizers. And they're frozen, right? I mean, you know, it's like, right. I mean, they come from Cisco or wherever, you know, even if they're Gucci, they're frozen.
Right.
I can go to Wise Markets and get coconut shrimp in the aisle
right.
or the Margaritaville brand
but
or whatever.
These are, it is.
No, they're usually dried out. You do steam shrimp here, and it's like if you're going to get shrimp salad or anything shrimp, you get it where they're doing a lot of shrimp. So these are not overdone.
See, she's digging this. See, I'm getting, you're getting the real, you're getting the real here. She's going to talk about this on her podcast.
Sometimes it's not enough. It is quality. I give you a three yums on that.
Three.
All right.
Is there a four yum? No, there's only three.
How many yums?
How many yums?
What's our yum scale?
Three's top.
Wow, that's pretty. That's, all right. All right.
All right. Jesse,
our
coconut shrimp guy will be glad to hear he's doing a great job. Well, job security.
Dara Bunjan is here. She is from Jay Moore, and she is the food enthusiast. Marcella is here. She is putting together a big Santa doings around here. And we talked about it in our last segment, but I'll give you a chance to talk about it again. Saturday, we're doing Santa here, but the neighborhood here is all Christmased up. The weather outside's frightful. Come on in here, and you can even get Zeke's coffee in here, even though they're up the corner, and Thomas is going to be here a little later on. But this is a very spirited time, and how much of this do you sell? I mean, coconut shrimp. Is this a top seller?
It has become one of our top sellers next to the crab cake.
Because it's an intense thing to put together, right?
It's a lot of work. Like I said, I have someone that makes Tuesday, that's his job, makes all the shrimp for the week. 8 hours. Standing there prepping the shrimp.
Well,
it's time consuming, just like our crab cakes are. Simple recipes, but made with love and care. And I think that's what makes it so delicious.
I don't want to tell people not to get the crab cake when they come here. Get the crab cake, but don't sleep on the coconut shrimp with
right.
the
cake.
While you're waiting for the crab cakes to come, get the shrimp.
Well, this is one of the problems with a restaurant like this, and this is my problem in eating out. I have my go-to. So if I'm living in Perry Hall and I'm driving down here, or living anywhere that's not here, and I'm driving over to Coco's and I'm going to do it, and it's my couple every couple times a year I come or whatever, and I'm really jonesing that big old crab cake, you get the crab cake, and that's what you get, you know. And you're like, ah, any room for any? They look good, but you know, whatever. Don't sleep on a coconut shrimp. Make sure you get those. And I've been trying to do that with all, not just my sponsors, but anywhere I go, is to say people know about your signature thing. There's something else going on. You make great margaritas here, too. I mean, there's a lot of things you guys do here. But I think this is one of my favorite things in the city that nobody knows about that they need to know about.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy it. Yeah. They smell amazing.
Would you like one?
You want some biscotti?
That's
some
okay. I'm going to let you enjoy them.
Tara's going to get out of here. She's from Jay Moore, and she is the food enthusiast. Please find her. And your podcast is available at Jay Moore, correct?
Right. The show, The Food Enthusiast, on jaymooreliving.com. Or their Facebook page, Jay Moore Living, and I do the show live every Thursday. So tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I'll have another guest on, and you can sit there and send in your questions. Whether my guest has been from Paris or local, check it out.
Ask them if they've had the corn pudding yet, and tell them I endorse it.
Okay, I will do.
She put a status up. It was delicious. She
Nobody
put a status up.
Nobody brought it in. I've never tried.
We ran pudding. Out of it. That was the whole point. The whole point is we made it. It was the first thing we ran out of. We will get you the recipe for. It's very easy to make
so
as well.
So is it desserty or is it a side dish?
No, it's a side dish.
It's a side dish. Right.
So it's.
But it's sweet.
A sweet side dish. Kind of like a sweet potato dish.
But corn.
But corn.
But corn. Right.
Right.
I was so disappointed. My
like
wife.
Custardy. I bet you it's custardy.
It's eggs. It's corn, it's cream, it's milk, and you sort of, all the ingredients, you withhold 1 cup of the corn, and the rest of it you process, add the whole kernels back, and bake it. That's it. It's real simple.
Sounds delicious.
I pulled it out on Tuesday for Jen. Jen's like, that looks simple enough. I can make. Now, she had been making cranberry from scratch, the turkey. My wife does goes crazy. And then she says to me on a Saturday before, she's like, I'm going to make a pie. And I'm like, the kitchen's only so big. Like, you know, like, we'll buy a pie, you know. She's like, no, I want to make a sweet potato pie. She made this sweet potato pie. It was unbelievably. There's still a piece left in the fridge, and I'm surprised I haven't stolen it. Because, I mean, we're going to fight over the last piece. We've had a great, great Thanksgiving. We're going to have a great holiday season. We're at Coco's Pub. We're going to be at Gertrude's this week. Next week, we're at Fadley's on Wednesday. We're at Amici's on the 17th. They don't have a crab cake. Don't tell anybody. But I'm doing a crab cake tour at a place where they don't have a crab cake because it's Amici's and they have meatballs and it's the holidays and they're my friends. And I think I'm going to get Nancy Longo to come over and make me a crab cake.
I was just going to say because she does the smoked crab cake. And
from Pierpoint.
Pierpoint.
They did a comparison 1 year, many years ago. It's on our wall over there. Pierpoint
and you.
And us, yes, years ago. And
do you know Nancy a little bit?
I don't know her, but she's really good friends with one of my friends who keeps telling me I need to go in there.
All right.
And
here's
I still haven't done it.
Nancy's like family to me. My wife was really like close to dying at the hospital. Nancy would absolutely insist that I stop by and get dinner at her house.
Oh, yeah. So, I heard she's a really nice person.
She has a big heart. And Dan Rodericks is doing Feast of Seven Fishes with Nancy at Pierpoint 2 nights in a row.
I got to promote that. I got Dan on tomorrow. So yep. Dan's going to tell me about that. So Nancy's a legend. She's done Taste of the NFL every year, so at the Super Bowl every year. So I'm always involved with her with that charity. They do it for hunger with Wayne Kostrowski out of Minnesota. So she doesn't do it anymore because the NFL screwed up and
they changed it.
Yeah, they screwed all the chefs. They had all these incredible. That's how I know Anthony Zimmern and you know all these people that would come every year. But Nancy's awesome. So we're going to be at Amici's on the 17th, and then on the 18th, we're going to be at Costas with Gina Schock from the Go-Go's. It's our holiday send-off. My wife's already going to be up in New Hampshire freezing by then. So thank you so much for the biscotti, not biscotti. Thank you very much for the shrimp sharing and really for your corn pudding recipe that it's probably like Mr. Sam Gibson's sauerkraut and kielbasa. It might be coming with me the rest of my journey.
Well,
it might be a thing.
I think you've made it legendary.
My wife even said to me, we're going back to the sauerkraut and we're going to go back to the corn pudding for Christmas. So we're going to make your recipe again because she's still got the white corn in the freezer.
Go for
I've got to do
it.
Something
That's
delicious
it.
With it.
So
Marcella's here. Thomas is going to be here from Zeke's. Versig's going to sit down. We're going to talk coffee. We're going to have some eggnog. We're promoting the fact that Santa, the real Santa is going to be here this Saturday. And, of course, all your shopping. Come on out to Laurelville. Make sure you're supporting local business. It goes without saying. Small Business Saturday. Every day is Small Business Day when you own an AM radio station and you own a bar in the corner of Laurelville. that you've turned into a crab cake institution. So we're here at Coco's. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have been giving these away. I have not had anybody tell me they've won. I gave Dara one. I hope she is a big winner. Raven Scratch-Offs. We have Peppermint Scratch-Offs coming our way 2 weeks from now as well. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare getting Luke back and forth. Not this week because it's bye week, but he'll be plenty, plenty busy next week as the Ravens get ready to play a lot of football through the holidays, and I plan to eat a lot of corn pudding and drink a lot of eggnog. I'm gaining weight from my eggnog. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD AM 1570. Tassel Baltimore back for more from Coco's, eating coconut shrimp, and my co-host, Rasig, will be back in the spotlight after this.